Huh? YouTube. It's right on YouTube. It's on, if you just put in My Hope America, My Hope America Defining Moments, the first four or five are that. It has 20. I really need you to see this. We're going to have Friends Day, if you remember, and I would love for you to see this now. I'm just showing the same thing again. I typed in My Hope America Defining Moments, and I went right down to the second one, I think, just only because it had 28 minutes on it, so I knew that was the right one, and watched it. It'll really motivate you to understand what we're going to do for Friends Day. And so if you haven't seen it, will you do it?
Yes.
Please do it. Because it's going to be hard if you don't have any motivation to invite friends. So please watch that video. Were you able to pray for the names on your list? All right. Let's see if I've got mine. Okay, right here. Writing down who you might invite, realizing that not everybody will come, but you're going to pray for them every day. Now, I have to confess, I did not pray for my list all week. I left it on this stand, and I couldn't find it, and I didn't think about coming over to the stand. And so I was trying to remember who I had, and I prayed for probably most of these people. But listen, just take that brochure. If you don't have a brochure, or you should most all have a brochure by now, and just put those names down and begin to pray. And then on your bulletin, you have the steps. Do you remember what the steps are? Watch. Now, what do we mean by watch? The video. Okay, watch the video. Two, list the people and pray. And then number three, invite them here November 2nd and 3rd. If you want to do those home groups like Billy Graham was talking about, you can do that. But we're kind of late in the game, so we're just offering to have them all here. We're going to put 400 chairs in here. Into the auditorium, and then we're hoping that you will invite some friends that you've been praying for and that kind of thing to come hear the message of Jesus Christ, because they all need it, don't they? They all need it. Billy is right when he says everybody is looking. All right, so let's move on to our message, and just remember that next week I'm going to be showing a little bit longer video. It talks about what they've been doing this since about 2005 in other countries, and it's unbelievable how many people have come to Christ and what they're dealing with right now. They think they can, even if we all engage, we can change America through salvation rather than politics and all the other things that haven't worked so far, okay? All right, so let's move on. I was just thinking this week that at times I kind of feel like that as an individual and as church responsibility, I forget what evangelism should be. Do you get that way? I just kind of, it's almost like it's a hazy picture. And so as much as I've studied the Bible on this, I tend to forget it, and then I re-clarify it and in my own mind, and then all of a sudden I know what to do. And so you have an advantage tonight of studying with me and clarifying in your own mind what the Bible talks about when it talks about sharing Christ in evangelism. And as we search the Bible, I think we'll find a couple of things. Number one, or first, is there is a gift of evangelism, a spiritual gift given among along with the evangelist, who is more of a teacher and a position of someone who has that gift, a trainer in the church, who trains other members, meaning all the rest of us in the body of Christ, how to share our faith, or at least that's the goal, okay? And second, we will find out our mission, or as many say, our commission. And so, you know, sometimes when we use words like commission, do you ever kind of get lost and feel like you don't even know what it means? I was thinking of that, and I looked at, you know, and I thought, oh, wait a minute, co-mission, mission together, right? It's our mission together as a church, and we're going to look at that tonight as well, because sometimes we get the gift of evangelism and our commission mixed up. You following me? Okay, All right, so let's start with our verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, and then we'll dive into this subject. And remember that I read the white and you read the yellow, right? Okay. And he came and preached peace. For through him we both have access.
By one Spirit to the Father.
Great. What great words. And it continues in 19 through 22, and we're going to be hitting on that next week. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, I've stated in previous talks that we have direct access to plead with the Father. And we are his children, and because we're his children, he hears us, right? And I also have said, and this is so true, and again I want to pound this in, that the unsaved person who doesn't know God at all can embrace the Father because he can call out to the Father. And that unsaved person, it says in Romans 10:13, Joel 2:32, and Acts 2:21, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But we have to hear the salvation message first, right? Does that make sense? You were told it, or you wouldn't be here. Now listen to Paul as he makes this point, this very point in words in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear? And it's not without a preacher, it's without announcing. See, the problem is, the way they put it in the old King James and all the translations keep copying it, is somehow it's the preacher that's supposed to do it, right? And I don't know why they did that. And so I want to read this, and I want to take out the preacher and preach thing, okay? And how shall they hear without announcing? And how shall they announce unless they are sent, and it means sent with a message? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who are telling the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, and it really is, who brings the good news. In when it says the good news, the way that the structure in the Greek is, it's really cool. It means who are telling the good message. Two goods in a row. So obviously, someone has to tell him, and God is thrilled. Now let me tell you this, God is thrilled when somebody shares Christ with somebody else, right? Isn't that the core issue here? You know, let's go first to talk about the gift and the evangelist. Turn with me to Ephesians 4:11, where we find Paul talking about five gifts that are very strong in the church. They're positions in the body of Christ that are needed in order to train all the rest of us in the church, me included. Okay? And I want to comment as we go through the scriptures. Now, I know some of you don't like that because you just want me to read straight on through, but I'm going to kind of comment on some of these things because it's so important that we get this. And he himself, Christ, gave some to be apostles. Now, that means literally a messenger, leaders sent with a mission. It could be missionaries. It could be any leader of any type in the church, on the field, wherever it may be. He's given them, and then some prophets, which is literally a spokesman. And when we say a prophet, most of our minds go to foretelling, right? Foretelling the future. That's, I don't think, what Paul is talking about, because even in the scriptures, about 5% of the scriptures is foretelling and 95% is telling forth. Does that make sense? And so the prophet is who I am right now. The person that's speaking out to the crowd, that's the prophet, okay? And then some evangelists, and this is our guy now, who shares the good news of the gospel with others, but also we're going to talk about the training. Some pastors, which are shepherds and counselors, people-centered people who are kind of shepherding, and then the teachers, the trainers, the discipleship, the trainers of God's Word. And these five offices, and they usually have the gift along with the office, these five offices Christ gave to the church, and this is the reason, okay? For or towards the equipping, and it just means the equipping of all the necessary skills of the saints. Now, who are the saints? Let's see, we got St. Jude, we've got, how many saints are in this room? Raise your hand if you're a saint. Okay, all the rest of you don't know you're a saint. When it says it means the Holy One, it means that we are all saints. Do you get it? We're all saints. I know that the early church started making people saints, and they had different formulas on how to figure that out. That's not what the Bible is talking about. The Bible is talking about the fact that we all have become holy ones. We are the children of God, and we're called saints. Okay, so for the equipping of the saints, for the work or service of the ministry, and for the edifying, which means the building up, the making more fit of the body of Christ. Now, this is not two different things. This is one thing. That he equips us so that we can be built up in the body of Christ until we all come, and I like the word arrive better. That's probably more our vernacular now. Till we all arrive to the unity, to the oneness of the faith and of the knowledge. And when when Paul uses, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, knowledge here is not our normal word for knowledge. Our normal word for knowledge is gnosis, and this is epigenosis. And with all the study that I've done on that word, and believe me, I have looked that word up and worked on it as many other theologians have done, and it really is the spiritually enlightened knowledge. Once we come to Christ and we have this knowledge that the natural man can't have, Paul uses the word epigenosis, okay? So the faith of the knowledge, the spiritual knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect or complete, having reached its end, meaning man, to the measure, and when we say measure, it's a quantity, okay, of the stature, the maturity of the fullness, meaning filled up to completeness of Christ. Now, let me just read that again. For the equipping of the saints, for the service of the ministry, everybody does the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all arrive at the oneness of the faith and of the spiritual knowledge of the Son of God to a complete man, to the measure of the maturity of the fullness of Christ. Man, that is a mouthful of words, isn't it? Unbelievable concept. And here's the thing that I've come to realize is we as the church come to maturity and we are Christ. Now, I'm not saying we're replacing Christ. We become like Christ, but we can't do it on our own. It takes all of us together, and all of us together can deliver what Christ himself was able to do. You following me? Because it takes each gift, and everybody has their different gift and talent, and we put them all together, and then we have a completeness and a maturity. All right? All right, so the whole process of these five gifts is to train the body so that each person can become well-rounded, not only in their gifts, but also the other things that they may not be able to do so well. And yet they specialize in their own area, because we all know that we work within our gifted areas according to the gifts that God's given us, so that we as a church can become mature in Christ, working together, using our gifts. All right? So for the evangelist, it's training the rest of us. And Eddie was sick last week. I think he's going to be back in. I want to get him here on Saturday night as well. And what he's going to begin to do is to train all the people that want to learn how to share their faith just real easy. And we make it so complicated. I remember when I was in college, I took this course on Kennedy Evangelism Explosion. Did anybody do that one? It was a book this thick. and you had to memorize the whole book. And, you know, I feel sorry for the listener, you know, because they had this plan that you go through, and it doesn't have to be that. Because God tells us to witness, not to prove, that kind of thing, but to witness of his love. And we can tell him what God's done in our life. And so Eddie's going to be helping us with that. And so, but what's interesting is when you stop to think out of the five offices that Paul talks about that Christ has given us, the evangelism is the only one that works on the outside people. All the rest of them are on the inside of the church, but the evangelist goes to the outsider, which really takes a lot of courage when you stop to think about it. And I'm always simply amazed when somebody has the gift of evangelism and they're out sharing Christ with all these people they don't know. And I mean, I'm pretty outgoing. But they have courage that I don't have. God's given them that kind of gift. And if I wake up and remember, I'll share the faith, but my brain doesn't work that way. And yours may not work that way as well. And yet an evangelist does. And so that's what the evangelist does or should. And as well as lead in the good news, because they move people from an unsaved place, a natural man, to the spiritual man saved. And I'm telling you, God loves it. God loves their feet. Right? How beautiful are the feet of those who share the gospel. Why? Because they're walking. They're going out and they're doing it. And God loves it. And if you're an evangelist, then the majority of your thinking is, how can I share the faith and in what ways can I do it? If you don't have the gift of evangelism, you probably don't think those things unless you're fairly new to the faith and you don't know what the heck you're doing, period. Okay? All right, so listen, because today we honor the evangelist. If you're an evangelist, God particularly loves your gifting and what you do. When you share the faith. And even if we aren't an evangelist, when we share the faith, we are dead center in God's will. All right? It isn't like we're close to what God wants. It's dead center of his desire and his will. Because he says this, and listen, and we're going to go back to this, 1 Timothy 4:3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, or who wills all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. This will here is a desire, and God loves it when we share the faith. Now, let's shift gears, and let's move on to the mission or commission of the church concerning evangelism and the sharing of our faith in whatever manner we can find. And one of the manners will be our Friends Day on what date? Second, third of November. Thank you. And that's when you bring somebody with you or somebodies with you. We're going to set it up so we can have at least 600 extra people in church. That's kind of our goal, is to have another 600, which means that's two apiece, adult-wise. Have them come in. We're going to watch the Billy Graham video, and then we'll come up after and share the faith with them. Have them pray for whoever wants to ask Christ in their life. And if you're praying for them, we may be able to get those people who are really ready to make the decision. Okay? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I want to give us the direct mission of the church, the body of Christ, where the message is to all of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to start with verse 17. There's a lot in Scripture, but this one is directed specifically to the church, okay? The body of Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, did you ever find that? You who have come to Christ a little bit later in your life, did you ever find when you came to Christ, all of a sudden things changed and you felt different? I mean, you know, Clyde and I used to laugh years ago because the first thing that we all felt was kind of arrogance. like, oh, we don't sin anymore, you know, and we're, you know, and then you find out, okay, I guess we do. But you feel that sense of newness, like Paul's saying. And he says, now all things, and what I want to tell you here is Paul does an amazing thing. When we see all things in his scripture, it's usually ta panta, and it means the all. And when he's saying that, it means the all of those who are in the body of Christ. That's what it means. So it isn't that he's just kind of saying something that doesn't mean, because it says, now all things are of God. Well, yeah, that's true. But what he's saying is all of us in the body of Christ are of God. And that we the word in the original is out of. All right? So now the all of us, all the members of the body of Christ are out of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, what does that mean? Well, I use this illustration back when we were in Philippians, and I'm going to do it again because I can't find a better view of reconciliation. You know, I was raised in Seattle, and my dad and I, about the time I got to middle school, he and I had a cabin cruiser. We bought this piece of junk. I mean, it was bad. But we fixed it up. We ribbed and planked it, and we learned everything about a boat. And so we would do that. My dad had been in the Navy, and so he was really interested. He had discharged in Seattle. And so he and I love boats, he loved boats. So on Saturdays, a lot of times, we'd take a trip down to the shipyards and just park and watch them work on ships. And we'd get a lunch together, and we'd eat our lunch and watch that. And one particular day, they had a Navy vessel at the docks. And I made a picture here so you could see it. Somehow, a hole was punched into the hull. You know, that's the bottom part of the boat. Punched into the hull. And so what they had to do is they had to go in, so they got torches, and they cut it out to a square. And then they took a metal plate of the same size, and they would put it up into that square, and they would weld it in until you could not know that it had even been hit, because it is totally placed. And I said, and I was kind of young, and I said, Dad, what are they doing? And he says, oh, reconciling the hole. Reconciling the hole. See, we hardly ever use the word reconcile, right? In Navy, it's a pretty big word. Anytime that there's damage to it and they fix it, they have reconciled the hole, which means that you can't tell when they're done that there was a hole in there. And now, I want you to transfer that thought to us. Christ saved us, and we've been reconciled to God so much so that it's seamless. We're in Christ, period. And just like that hole, we had that hole, didn't we? We had a hole punched in our hull. Okay, they almost sound the same. And about ready to sink. I know when I was in California, I was ready to sink. I was ready to go under when I came to Jesus Christ. And when I did, all of a sudden, I was reconciled to God. There was peace in my life. I was for him and not against him. He was for me and not against me. And I was reconciled. And the same is true of you. And so, as I watched him put that in, I never forgot that picture in my mind. And this is a scripture I want to look at in verse 18. Now, the all things, the body of Christ members, are out of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to you and me, us, the ministry of reconciliation. And so he has given all of us this ministry, this work of reconciliation here at Harvest, to see others who aren't reconciled to God, who have the hole in their hull, straightened out in their life so they come seamless to God. And we're going to do it. And this is what God wants from us, and he loves it, because as I said, it's dead center to his will. 19. That is, now he's going to explain, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses, condemning them, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, you and I, the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors. Now, you know, we know that there's been ambassadors out there, and some of them have to fly home because there's trouble, but what is an ambassador? That's a diplomat, an official representative, one who represents and speaks for the country they're from, in our case, for Christ. Now, it's interesting because I was talking with a young pastor, and I was counseling with him, and he was having a hard time preaching, and he said, would you help me kind of learn my craft? And so the first question I said is, okay, first of all, do you speak for Christ? And he goes, well, no. He said, I wouldn't dare do that. And I said, well, why? He says, because who am I to represent Christ? Well, that could be true of all of us, couldn't it? But every one of you are ambassadors to represent Christ. What if the ambassador to one of the European countries got up and said, well, I would tell you what the United States wants to do, but I just don't feel like an ambassador. Or they went to the UN and somebody from the United States stood up and they said, well, I can't speak for the United States because I don't feel like I'm worthy to speak for the United States. We'd laugh, wouldn't we? We'd think, get that guy out of there. Get somebody in who can speak for the United States. And so what does Paul say we are? Now then, you and I are ambassadors. Being an ambassador for Christ is no laughing matter when you stop to think about it. Because he, God, has asked us, you and I, to step up to the plate and represent him. Everybody comfortable now? You know, it's one of those things like, you know, pass the potato salad. You know, it's not that. It's not comfortable, but it's exciting. It's exciting. I can guarantee you, when you open your mouth and you just share what God's done in your life with someone else, you get a real rush. Isn't that true? I know that because I don't have the gift of evangelism. I love evangelism, but I don't have the gift. That's not my gifting. And yet at the same time, when I share my faith with somebody and I talk with them, and I've had people come into my life and even ask me, can you show me how to have a relationship with God? And I'm always shocked when they do that. And then I can share. When I share, it's like, man, my heart won't quit beating. I'm so excited that these people want to know Jesus Christ. And I can guarantee that same thing will happen to you, because what happens is, and it's promised in the scripture, that the Holy Spirit will speak through you. Because, you know why? Because it's God's will. It's God's desire that this person comes to know Christ. Amen? So the Holy Spirit's going to speak through you. And he loves it. And he loves it when you and I do it. And so we get to 20, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. And this is a quote. We implore, we counsel you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Come to God, face God, don't run from him, come to him and put your faith and trust in him. Be reconciled to God. Now, that's pretty direct, isn't it? Sometimes it's pretty hard for us to be direct. People say that, and you know, yeah, we like, you know, yeah, I go to church. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, tell them they need to be reconciled to God. And, you know, it's hard not to mush it because our fears get up. We think somehow we're going to screw it up. Am I the only one? I've been doing this for years and years and years. I used to go door to door and talk to people for years in Commerce City, trying to lead people to Christ with a bunch of other people. And every time I was scared to death. Every time I went up to the door and then I hesitated and knocked and I thought, oh, I better knock real quick or I'll give up. And I'd knock on that door, and people would come to the door, and I'd talk to them. And all of us did that. It's hard not to kind of beat around the bush. But God's looking for truthing and love. Like he says in Ephesians 4, to tell people the truth. If the worship team will come back up, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight. And I think we really need to celebrate tonight, because what is our co-mission, folks? I'm going to stand here till you say something. The mystery of reconciliation, right? Sharing our faith. Seeing that people come to Christ. And so we're trying to provide as a church the opportunity for you to bring people in on the 2nd and 3rd of November so they can hear the gospel. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Just invite them. And pray for them ahead of time. Keep praying that you have the courage and that they will have the openness, and then invite them. And I guarantee you, when you make that list of people, not everybody will come. I've said that the last couple weeks. But I want to remind you again. And so I think maybe the last question here is, why should we even share the faith? And Paul gives that in verse 21. And he made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Oh my gosh. Do you realize that when he was on the cross and he was nailed up there, he took on all our sin and dismissed the sin from us? That's unbelievable. A guy who had never sinned took on all that puke and shouldered it and died, bled and died. And so Paul says, for he made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In other words, he transferred all the sin from us and transferred it over to Christ's shoulders, and now we have no sin as far as God's concerned. Now, that makes me happy. Does it make you happy that Christ did that for us? And so, as we're going to sing a song here, and then we're going to come back and share. What I'd love for you to do is, as you're singing, also look inward into your hearts. And think, I want you to just concentrate on the fact that God took your sin away from you and bore it on the cross and died with it and then rose again, because we're going to rise again. So let's sing together.